you are point. Tells you the Rabb al-Mashriqi wal-Maghrib. Then, the east-west, the Rabb of the east and the west, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is between the east and the west, the Rabb is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Il kuntum ta'qilun. If you are only intelligent, if you are clever, if you are hushyar, then you will know this. That as far as the place is concerned, Allah is the Prophet. As far as the time is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by using the words Mashriq, East, West, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, as far as the seasons are concerned, as far as the conditions are concerned, no matter what are the conditions, Allah is the provider. Irrespective of the condition, Allah is the provider. See, look at the fishes, look at the birds, look at the animals, look at us, look at our own country, and look at the people in our country. Some earning little, some earning a lot. But Alhamdulillah, all are surviving, all are getting maintained, all are getting sustained by the will of and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the battle of the trench. In the battle of the trench, there was a huge rock which could not be burst. Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala were hitting that rock, could not break. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was called that they could not break that rock. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got down. Now when he got down, Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala, he came from his house. When he came from his house, he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam getting down, and he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that on his belly he had stones tied. And this was the method of keeping the belly deceived so far. You see, the belly, when it is hungry and you tie some stones, then the walls, the stomach walls start coming together. And when the stomach walls start coming together, then the stomach, the belly feels that I'm full. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had stones there. Other sahabas also had. One sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him and showed him that we have got no food and we are tying stones on our belly. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted his kurta and showed him one more stone. The sahabi had two stones tied. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had three stones tied on his belly. This is one point that we should remember. That the person who is heading the affairs of anything, that the person who is the head of the institute, head of the organization, head of the work, head of the movement, head of the Islamic movement, etc., he has to make more sacrifice than those that are following him. Those that are following, he was not expected to do everything. And today we have got the other way around. That when you come on top, when you come on the position, and when you come on the chair, and when you come onto the glory point, then you have to sit, and then are you so-called big administrator. And so-called you are the director. And so-called you are the instructor now. Now you instruct people. Here Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what stopped you from sitting back and said, no sahaba, you must dig the trench. Would there be any objection? Sahaba, you dig the trench, I'll supervise it, I'll look around, I'll administer the whole issue. You'll dig the trench. He never said, no, I'll eat. I will eat, don't worry, and you will starve. There is nothing like that. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on journey once. When he went on journey, they made mashwara, but they camped. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I will go and gather the wood for the fire. Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala from Ajmi told them, Rasulullah, you sit, we will do everything. He said, no, I will also work. What happens these days? But Alhamdulillah, we got this policy. A lot of us have got this policy. A very big brother this, a very big mufti sahab this, let him relax. Let him eat everything. Let him sit down. Or this is a very big person, let him sit and do nothing. Or he must do nothing. This is not an Islamic concept. This is not an Islamic attitude. In Islam, everybody must work. In Islam, if everybody is having difficulty, everybody must be under the difficulty. Know that this person is so and so, he must not have any problem. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is setting the example. He is digging himself, he is also having the hunger pains. And he is having more hunger pains and he is having more stones than the other sahabas of the nation. See, then Jabir radiallahu ta'ala saw that and he came and he whispered to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that, I am going to prepare some food. Before that, he went to his wife and told his wife that prepare some barley bread, and they had a young lamb, they slaughtered it. So he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, "Ya Rasulullah, you and a few others can come, there is some food ready. There is some food being prepared." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he in a loud voice, he said, "Ya, all the people of Khandaq, we are going for a feast." Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala, he was now amazed now. He was worried. He said, "How? Now what? I prepared one lamb and about 6 pounds of barley bread for a few people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a few people, my family will eat." But here Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made an elan. And according to narration, there were 3,000 people. 2,000 to 3,000 people. Imagine if you have to have that situation. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Jabir that, "Don't do anything, let me come there first." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went there, took his blessed saliva, and he applied it on the dough, took his blessed saliva, applied it on the meat, and told Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala, "Now distribute, now let them eat." And there were other ladies there in that area, they were called the cook women. He told them also they must come and help with the dish, and help with the dish out for the sahabas. Sahaba, Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala reports that all of the people of Khandaq were given food to their belly fed. All of them, and we still had food left over. See, training is going on. The contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be made. That our belief should be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our provider. That our belief should be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our sustainer, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is giving us this. And here Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is explaining to Pharaoh that, "Listen here, you are not the Rabb by any means, by no stretch of imagination you are the Rabb. The Rabb is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And same, see, when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam went to Nimrod, see, the word is not Nimrod or Namrud, the word is not that. The word is Nimrod. Nimrod. Marana Ubaidullah rahmatullah alayhi, when he came for the Springs Istima, and also when he came for the Roshni Istima, he explained this in detail, that the word is not Namrud, the word is Nimrod. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam also went to Nimrod, and he gave the same message, that Rabb is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nimrod posed the question, that your Rabb you're talking about, that you're talking about your Rabb, who is your Rabb? Same thing which Pharaoh asked Musa alayhi salam, who is your Rabb? And here Nimrod asked Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, who is your Rabb? And if you look, the mushriks and the kuffar of Mecca were asking Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam the same question again, who is your Rabb? This Rabb that you are talking about, who? And in this age also, after we facing the onslaught of materialism, this same question is daily posed to us, that our Rabb is on. And we know for a fact that when we go to the grave, that one of the three questions that posed to us, that our Rabb, who is your Rabb? See how important this question is. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first ayat of Surah Fatiha is bringing Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The discussion of Rabb is going on. In the way the grave, the first question is posed, who is your Rabb? What Rabbuka? Who is your Rabb? So that is why it is very important that we will know fully well in our heart, in our blood, in our bones, in our thinking, in our mental attitude, that our Rabb is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And try to bring it as much as possible into our daily life, that our Rabb is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My provider is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, when a person comes to the crossroads, when he sees I'm making thousands a year from a haram deal, and I'm making nothing here if I don't make the deed, then he'll have the concept. If he's got the concept and the belief that Allah is my Rabb, then he will leave the haram transaction. He'll say, "I do not require this money. Allah is my Rabb. Allah will provide for me." And when he comes to the crossroads, and then when his employees, his boss, will tell him to do some haram action, he'll say, "No, I will not do the haram action, I will leave the job." These are difficult things. He will say, "I will leave the job, but I will not do that haram thing. Allah is my Rabb." And then when he has to do haram work in his work, in his job, And when he has to do interest transactions in his job, and when he has to do things from the bank door for in his job, and when his boss tells him to this, he says, I will not do this. I will not do this, Allah is my Rabb, I will leave the job. And when his boss tells him that you have to sample upon the Shariat of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you can't go for Jummah Salah, or you can't do this in the factory, or you can't do this in our property, you can't behave like a Muslim, you cannot portray yourself as a Muslim, you cannot put external qualities like a Muslim in our factory, in our property, in our firm, then the person will say, no, I love Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah is my Rabb, you can keep your job. These are difficult things. But when the feeling and when the belief comes in the man that Allah is my Rabb, then he will do everything. Then he will stand on his ground. And then he will have the belief that, okay, I lost my job, that I have lost my work, that I have left these things, but I left it to please Allah and His Rasul, and when I have done something to please Allah and His Rasul, Allah will look after me. And Allah will provide for me, and Allah will sustain me. That Allah will care for me. Why? Because I did it for the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a small thing. The boss tells the person that do this thing and leave the Shariat. The person says, I'll leave the Shariat, but I will worry about the few hundreds of rands that I'm getting monthly. Why? Because the Iman is not made. The person not firmly believing that Allah is my Rabb. So, in the story of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet told him that you are who's your Rabb? So, no, my Rabb is that who gives life and takes life. Who gives life and takes life. So the Guru said, well, that is very easy, I can do that. That what you're talking about, the quality of your Rabb, I can do that. To give life and to take life, no, I'll do that. So what he did, according to what narration, there were two prisoners. Called the prisoners. And one was sentenced to death, and one was not sentenced to death. So the one that is sentenced to death, he said, see, this one is sentenced to death, I'm leaving him, let him free. He said, see, I gave life. But the one that was not sentenced to death, he killed him. He said, see, I killed him. I give life, and I also take life, and I also let people live, and I also kill them. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam realized that he is a very stupid fellow. Very silly chap. He can't understand. Now, when we discuss that story in detail, I explained to you that there are various methods of argumentation, various methods of making people understand. And the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this, that talk to people the language they understand. Meaning talk to them at their level. Now, when you explain to a child, you will talk to that level. And when you explain to a person who thinks he is clever, you will explain to him how he was. And if you are talking to a simple fellow, you will explain to him how he was. Yeah. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is explaining to the brother, said, you're not understanding this example. Meaning, Ibrahim alayhi salatu is trying to tell him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he grants death and he grants life. So when he realized that this person is not understanding, is not prepared to see reason and logic, is not prepared to understand the correct way, then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam told him, see, my Rabb takes the sun from the east. He takes the sun out from the east and he makes it set in the west. My Rabb takes it from the east and he makes it set in the west. Told the Rose that you take it from the west and make it set in the east. You take it from the west and make it set in the east. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the Rose was flabbergasted. He was bamboozled. What's going on now? Now Ibrahim alayhi salam has put a stumbling block. Has brought the proof that he can understand now. Why? And everybody can know this, that the sun is coming out from the east every day, it's going to the west. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, no, sir, take it out from the west, you take it out tomorrow from the west, and let it come out, let it set in the east. That was now what we call in Urdu, Hakka Bakka. He left out, he's left flabbergasted. He doesn't know, he's astonished now what he's going to reply. So again, we are proving here that our Rabb is the one who is doing everything. Nothing happens on the earth without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knowing about this thing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who does everything. And all these conditions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a lady. And she should provide, according to the hadith, butter to Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. whatever is padir, she should provide to Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and she should send to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam butter all the time from a certain pot. From a certain pot she should give it. And she should say Bismillah Rahman Rahim and send it to Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam all the time. She should send, keep sending the padir to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this was going on for a long duration. And she was perturbed that how come every time I send to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then the paneer, the butter, does not run short. So what she did, she took the whole pot and she emptied it. Every drop of it. And from that day, there was no more butter, no more paneer coming out. She went to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and she told him that this is what was happening. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that there was barakat and goodness and khair in that. And you, if you did not turn that pot upside down and take out the last drop of butter there, you should have been able to get butter all your life. You should have been able to get butter all your life. Why? Because your belief was correct and you were doing this for the pleasure of Allah and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is why we say that everything should be started with Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Dishing out food, earning the money, doing things, transaction, no matter how small the transaction is, no matter how big the transaction is, no matter what the action is, we should say Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Allah Rabbul Izzat will grant barakat in those actions of ours. See ya. As far as Rabb of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, one more story I'll narrate for you. That, let alone the idea of protecting, the idea of sustaining, the idea of nourishing, the mushriks also had this. Certain of them. When it came to the, for example, the Kaaba itself. See, Abraha came to attack the Kaaba. Abraha, what they did, they built another replica, a prototype of a Kaaba in Yemen somewhere. And he said the people must come down for pilgrimage day. And the Arabs were not interested because they had the Kaaba. They should go for pilgrimage day. No matter what they were doing there, running around naked and all those other things. But they said, no, we will not go to Yemen. So Abraha came with his elephants. Abraha came with his elephants to attack the Kaaba, destroy the Kaaba, and annihilate the Kaaba. On his way, he was able to win certain Arab tribes over. He was able to defeat some Arab tribes in his process and his procedure to come to destroy the Kaaba. See, when he came right near there, then Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was the custodian, the guardian, and the caretaker of the Kaaba. Meaning, what do you mean by caretaker and guardian? That when the pilgrim season should come, then Abu Talib, he was in charge of providing water, facility, keeping that area clean, maintaining the Kaaba, and supervising what was going on. They were in charge. That family, that tribe was in charge. So, Abdul Muttalib, he called the leaders, and they started making mashwara, meeting now what to do. What to do and how are we going to tackle this? Because that man is coming. He's coming with the elephants and he's coming to destroy. Finally, what he addressed them. He told them that, listen, you all go into the mountain areas. If you go to Mecca up to date, you'll see that around the Kaaba is the mountainous areas. He said, you all go away. Take your properties, your families, etc. and go away. Go up there. And then he addressed the Kaaba. He addressed the Kaaba, saying, O Rabb of the Kaaba, we cannot protect you. We cannot safeguard you. O Rabb of the Kaaba, you protect the Kaaba, we are going. And they went to him. He went to him. Meanwhile, Abraha is coming. Abraha came and he camped. Now when he camped, in the process of coming, this person's soldiers and his men were looting the Arab tribes. And they took the camels of Abdul Muttalib. They took the camels away. They stole his camels. Abraha's men stole Abdul Muttalib's camels. Now, Abdul Muttalib, alhamdulillah, was a very handsome person. Abraha came to know that the chief of the Quraysh, the leader of the Quraysh, Abdul Muttalib wants to talk to him. So Abraha was very excited, very happy and proud. Oh, the leader of the Quraysh wants to talk to me. And now there's some negotiations going on. Maybe they won't fight, they just allow us to come and destroy the Kaaba. Maybe they come to talk terms now. Or maybe they come to talk terms that, okay, maybe they will come to worship and then come to our Kaaba, which we have built the prototype in the Yemen. So Abdul Muttalib came. So Abdul Muttalib came and he saw this person, Abraha. Abraha now proud and blown up, waiting for Abdul Muttalib to come. Abdul Muttalib came. So Abdul Muttalib now started the discussion. Abdul Muttalib said I came, I want my camels. Oh, that person became so cross. Abraha. So you worried about your camels. I come to destroy the Kaaba. You, the caretaker of the Kaaba, supervisor of the Kaaba. And you worried about your camels. I come here to destroy the Kaaba with the elephants and turtles. Don't you see the force that I've come to destroy the Kaaba? And you worried about the camels that I stole of you. So Abdul Muttalib says, see, I'm the owner of the camels. I'm the owner of the camels. It is my duty to look after the camels. You run away with our camels. I come to ask you for the camels. As far as the Kaaba is concerned, the Kaaba is the Rabb is the owner. The Rabb of the Kaaba is the owner of the Kaaba. He'll look after it. It's not our job, not our property, not our responsibility to worry about that. The Rabb of the Kaaba will look after the Kaaba. I will come to look for my camels. As far as the Kaaba is concerned, the Rabb will look after it. See, they also knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider, sustainer, certain of the Mushriks. Because later I will explain to you that about Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wherever it appears in the Quran, why this word come, why these words Alhamdulillah comes in various places in the Quran. They also knew that the Rabb, the protector, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this must come into our lives. This must come into our life, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from our youth, our childhood, and up to now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our provider, sustainer, nourisher. And under any circumstances, in every circumstances, Allah will provide. But Alhamdulillah, the condition has to be there, that we must conform to Shariat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we do not conform to Shariat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who we claim that we love, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring conditions upon us that we'll say it is difficult. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring conditions upon us that we'll say it is tough to live and it is a lot of difficulty in living, I can't make ends meet and so on. Then we'll always have that so-called 10% shortfall in our budget. We'll always have the problem that I can't make ends meet. We'll always have the problem that there is no barakat in the food. We'll always have the problem that there is no khair in the house. When I go in the house, there is problems. When I go in the house, there is food shortage. When I go in the house, then there is always the problem how I'm going to get the meal, etc. These things will come when we don't conform to Shariat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we don't adhere to Shariat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then difficulties are bound to come. And difficulties come in large scales after that. First it will come to our homes, then it will come to our locality, then it will come to our province, and then it will come to our country, where Shariat is floundered and when we don't conform to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way of life as shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to practice upon Sharia. Next week, if I am not in Ethica, then we continue maybe with the tafsir, or maybe Brother Akudi or someone will come to give a talk. Ya Rahman Rahim, Ya Rahman Rahim, Ya Rahman Rahim, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اغفر لي ولوالدي ولأستاذي والمؤمنين الكبير والمؤمنات المتسلمين وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.